Amen. Lord bless your hearts. He's really great, isn't he? It's wonderful. Lord, we're going to unite our faith and help every person that wants help, Lord, in this building. You hear that? Who wants help? Amen. You know, sometimes people don't think they need help, but they need help. And if you're new here this morning, well, that's not kind of hitting at you, but he'll help you. How many of you believe that? Amen. And Lord, it's our duty, amen, to wake up the people and to tell them the world is sinking in front of their eyes, and some people can't even see it. And slowly, it's just sinking away from the Lord. And it's our duty, Lord, to hold these people up, bring in the ones that you give us, Lord, and touch their heart. Oh, what an hour for us to witness and to testify. As we're together, Lord, we believe in our hearts that you are the great guider, and you will guide each heart in here today, and you will help each person in here today. You will not hold back, for your arm is not short, Lord, that it cannot save nor heal nor guide. Now touch your people, Lord, and revelate in their hearts and minds the things that shall be. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, fine. Go ahead and be seated out there. Well, I don't know if we've been any out or not, but we sure shook some people loose lately, haven't we? You know, you'll find out what you're made out of when he gets through or gets through with me talking to you. You'll really find out what material you're made out of. It's going to take a certain type of material to go up in the translation or be protected by the Lord. Do you believe that? Amen. Some learn it sooner than others. There's an early harvest stop. They go on out. And then there's a tribulation type in there that they seem to learn a little bit later. But he has always those that will listen, and then they will qualify, and they will go up with the Lord. Now, you know, after the other messages, and I told the Lord, I went, well, where do we stand now? And I was thinking, you know, and pretty soon, you know, we're over the world, and not speaking just to this place right here, but over the world, where things are standing. And I began to think about it, so I kind of wrote down, there's probably too many to put on here, I kind of began to write down a few of these things that the church has got to be like or what's got to take place. And if you listen real close, you'll find out what the Lord has for us here. We'll kind of get away from, I don't know how much prophecy we'll have in this, and like we had the other message, now we'll get right down to some facts here so that you understand this right here. Now, we got it right here. Now, where would the churches be standing if the translation took place today? Say right now. Do you ever think about that? It won't be too long. Today. Are you ready? Would they be ready? The latter rain should do it. And there's coming a restoration that will bring them into form. Exactly. Like the very last thing that's left before harvest. Certain events happen in the heavens. Certain events take place upon the earth, the sun, the rain, so forth. And all of a sudden, they're ready. They got the proper nourishment. And the head pops out and God takes it away. Do you believe that? But where would you be? We're going into it, and it's going to be a fast work. It's going to spin the devil around. He's not going to understand everything. Now, listen to this right here, you know. Qualifications. Being prepared. And I wrote, the old saying, chalk is cheap. Probably right. What is the real facts? Now, all the systems and doctrines are part lies mixed with part truth. Absolutely right. There is one true doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ's words, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, that is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that? That is the doctrine of the true God. Without that, all doctrines mean nothing. They got part of it intertangled and mixed up in there. We're in preparation time. Who's ready? Here are some real facts. As you will see, the true body has a ways to go before it's completed or before it's ready. And hearing the words, go ye out to meet him, boy, as a final admonition to that, an admonition to them to go. Are you ready to go? Where does the church stand? Or it said, behold, she makes herself ready, the bride. Is it all ready? That's what it said. The statements are coming to the final announcements on there. Then it says, a quick, short work will I do to cause all of that. And we find out astonishing hour we're approaching, the hour of great and powerful miracles. And things that God will do for his people. And on the other hand, it will be a false astonishing hour for those that live in the world to take their mind, to take their heart away from what God is going to do for his people. But it's coming in its proper cycles. And so we see that right there in a quick short work. And the hour's approaching, the midnight cry, Matthew 25. And that's going to be very soon. You know, at the Jesus, when he was standing there, And what Satan would like to do to the church is what he was doing to the prophet, to Peter the apostle. And the Lord looked at him and he said certain statements, you know, trying to deny what God was going to do even. And him standing right there with him. And the Lord said, Satan would like to sift thee like wheat. But he stood up for him because if he was a true elect in there. And he told Satan, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, where did Satan hear that before? When he created and made Satan, he said, now get behind me and let the light shine. He reminded Lucifer, you were once behind me and pushing for me. And then he said, you wanted to be over and in front of me. See, how many of you believe that? Get thee behind me where you've always belonged, Satan. And he reminded him of where he had once been and he went behind. I'm glad that rock's behind me and that Jesus is in front of me. How many of you say amen? And he told Satan to get behind him, but Jesus and the Lord, he can be behind and in front too, because he can be in two places at once, and Satan has to lose optical illusions or some other source to do it, but not the living God. How many of you believe that? So he reminded him, he's preaching two sermons, one to the apostle and the other one to Lucifer back there, two messages where you used to be, and he let them know that too, that was standing behind him. And in other words, Peter was kind of getting like Lucifer. He was trying to do away with some of that message and stuff, so forth like that. It's a midnight hour. Now, the real truth, by the way, the real truth is hated. How many of you believe that? The real truth, it's hated. It was nailed to the cross, the very truth. It was trying to be destroyed at the cross. And they nailed that truth in there, and they didn't want the truth. They settled for a lie. It was more comfortable, saith the Lord, to live with. A lie. They didn't want the truth. They tried to kill it. Get rid of that. It had torment to it for them. But it brings life and joy to those that are real from God. But when they try to kill the truth, they only made matters worse, because the truth came right back. And when it did, it saved all who believed upon him. And it backfired on Lucifer. You can't do away with the truth, saith the Lord, anymore. You can do away with the spiritual things I have created. Material things can be destroyed, but not the spiritual things. And truth comes out of the spirit of truth, it is called. How many of you believe that? So we're going down through here, those who believe. Now, they will love the truth, the elect will, despite their shortcomings. Finally, it will transform them into something they can hardly believe themselves until the proper hour comes. And we're getting close to that proper hour of qualifications. One of them, they will love the truth. And so let's get on right here with this one right here. Now, we'll find this right here, the spiritual character of these qualifications here. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, now, we just finished with this. They will love the truth. But in this chapter there, it says, 2 Thessalonians 2:4-10, it says, and those who love not the truth shall perish, because they love not the truth. How many of you believe that? Now, these qualifications are coming one by one. They're the end of that little cycle sermons that I come on to preach in here. And the qualities now, listen to it. The second one is loyalty. Loyal to what God says and does, and loyalty, a faithful witness to tell them the truth, to believe the truth, and to tell all that he has said to tell. The faithful witness, she'll be like Enoch, and she'll be like Abraham at the end of the age, kind of like a faithful witness as the apostles. All the prophets were faithful witnesses, and he'll have nothing less than a faithful witness, as the book of Revelation brings out at the end of the age. They'll be not ashamed at all. Then they'll be watching. Here's some of the qualifications. Watching and praying. They will not reject his word. How many of you believe that? Now, how many of you see me preaching here and somebody, they get all, you know, they try to find fault. There is no fault in the word, saith the Lord. Oh, my God, man. You don't think he'd ever sent it? Sure, he weaved it back and forth for the unbeliever and the semi-believer and the doubter, those on the borderline and the edges, weave like that so he can toss them off. Our job is to shake loose, saith the Lord, those who do not have a strong grip back into the word. Now, you can shake them off of there, and that's what we're trying to do, is shake them off of there, and he'll bring in the real thing. Only he can do it. And preachers, they can't, while men sleep, boy, he's at work. Amen. They're going to do a certain part. But he's going to do it right there and everything. And praying, they don't reject his word. Believing in miracles and all the power of the Spirit. Those are the qualifications that they believe in. They believe in true salvation. Without it, what can you believe in? act. So you have to use your faith. Believe in true salvation. You say true salvation. Well, they got an awful lot of in these here, even into Buddha, even into Confucius, all up in the systems from the bottom of the Pentecost clear to the top of Rome. They got all kinds of salvation. But true salvation is of the Lord. How many of you believe it? And the other salvation is of man, and then it goes into Lucifer's type of salvation. How many? But his don't last long, saith the Lord. It has a termination to it. It'll terminate you into hell, boy. Don't last long. God's is eternal there. So you have the true, you see. Believe the true salvation anointing. Also, you have the anointing. If you are working the word, you have the oil. If the word is working, it produces oil. And the oil of the anointing must be with the church for the change to come. And it will transform. It will come at the proper time. It will come. Honor and praise has got to be there. Love thy God with all thy body, all thy soul, and all thy mind. How many of you believe that? Today, mankind is working on the brain. They think everything occurs in the brain. They leave out the soul, and that the heart is just something that pumps blood. They all three work together according to the scriptures. In the mind, the thought is produced, but in the heart is what you do with it. The soul is connected to the heart. And some of them said, you know, the mind is still trying to figure out, the brain is still trying to figure out the brain. Amen. It's daily working there. Well, you turn the brain over to the Lord, and it'll be figured out. Can you say amen? It is the most mysterious thing about the human brain. They don't understand the soul and heart that's involved with the brain and so forth like that. But it's the most intricate. It's like the universe in many ways. There just seems like billions and billions of little circuits and things in there. They just cannot figure it all out and how it performs to this day. Some things science are baffled on. They cannot figure it all out. But the Lord made it just like that. And he's great at that. Can you say amen? So all thy body, seeing the movement like this, and you praise him, and you feel in your body, in your soul, you reach in with that great faith. Even in your mind, you believe the Lord down into the heart and into the soul. And then electrical power of the Lord will get a hold of you if you do it often enough. And if you know what you're doing, he'll really bless your heart. That's love the Lord thy God. Now, how many? They'll pass probably, most systems will pass one of this that's in the mind. They worship God in the mind. And they worship God, the brain, and they worship God. But he didn't stop at that. He said, worship the Lord thy God in the mind, in the body, and in the soul. And so he didn't stop where organization stopped. He went on into Pentecost. And he didn't stop where Pentecostal stopped either. He went on in the soul where the division takes place. Oh, man. God, how great he is. Do you know the Lord told me in your preaching? He said, Satan will try to discourage you in every manner for these messages. Remember, it won't be you, but they'll think it's that. He said, they'll be against me. He said, if you can only get it in your heart, that all of it will be towards me. And it's hard to do that the way you see, you know, people. And the Lord told me, he said, the sour conditions caused by the preaching of the word, it should cause joy. But the sour conditions that settled over my church, over the land, he said, must go before revival can come. They just sour. The word of God is starting to, you know, sour people, you know, sour mouth. It'll bring joy finally. It will. But see, Satan is trying his best to sour the word, to make the people reject the word. Finally, through all of the souring and the rejection and all of this, when he gets finished with it, like we said before, he will shake everything loose that's not really nailed to him. How many of you believe that? Now, this is a process. You, I, Satan, angels, nobody else, none can do anything about it. The Lord will do the shaking. And there's nothing. I mean, but we're just in his hands. And Satan knows that, but he's a liar, saith the Lord. Yes, sir. You're listening to an illusion. That's what he is, an illusion. He's a vapor walking around with intelligence in him. That's about all, no more than like a computer. He's going to get mad at me. He'll try to run over my building again. He tries all kinds of tricks. Did you know that? You get where the word lives, and you get it to the people like you should get it to the people. And, oh, boy, you not only set the people on fire that want to hear it, but you really set Satan on fire. There's all kinds of things now to get your attention. All kinds of ways to cause you to sour on God. As Satan will just, he'll cut off your supply of almost anything to try to get you to sour against that word. That'll leave finally at the end of the age, and I'll tell you how it's going to leave and why it's going to leave and what's going to cause it, how God's going to gather them together. Now, these things I just wrote down as they come to me, and there was a lot of, they may not be in just in executive order or exact order like they should be, but they're put there, and they'll come out just right here. And if you can go back to this and you study it, you'll find out it's right. With all thy mind, body, and soul, Pentecostals, the real ones that are going to leave will be body, mind, and soul. The organization will stop at the mind, and then they'll even lose it for Satan. Now, repentance and confession today. You got in the church today, they may hate somebody, talk against somebody. They won't repent. Even Daniel the great prophet, we find no error in him. And even that great prophet told the Lord he'd repent and forgive thy. He confessed thy. He must have had, maybe he thought a few shortcomings. But because he lined himself up in the place of the people even, and they weren't living for anything, none of them. The three Hebrew children and Daniel was given the great, and Ezekiel on the side of Chebar down there were given the great testimonies. The people were doing nothing in Babylon hardly, about like they were at home in there. But I'll tell you one thing, that sour and complaining that they had down there in Israel, Nebuchadnezzar took care of that. If he found out one of them did, they got in a fire furnace himself. Now, he had law and order, and God put it that way. And even the Babylonian people, you get out of line with him, he'll cut your houses up and make them dunghill. How many of you believe that? Boy, he squared things away for a while until he run right directly into God himself, finally, and he straightened him out. So at the very end of that in there, and he knows how to do it. And Daniel lined himself. And if there was any shortcomings, the old prophet wasn't going to leave without a one of them. He wanted to get them all out there. And the angel had to come and say, "Oh, thou Daniel, greatly art thou beloved in heaven." Because Daniel was a confessor, whether he was bad, wrong or what. And he confessed, and he repented. How much more the church today, how much more the people today with their shortcomings? Maybe they're not entirely backslidden. We know Daniel wasn't. Maybe they've got a little bit here and a little bit there against somebody. Maybe they have, maybe they said a little something they shouldn't said or something. Maybe a lot of other things. It'd be a thousand things. And that confession and repentance, they'll believe. And they will confess if they're wrong. They will repent to the Most High. They don't have the kind of pride to hide it. Pride will hide that. Then it kind of makes them like maybe they were wrong. See, they don't like that, whether you're wrong or not. Daniel did it. Can you say amen? That's one of the signs of great revival that was sweeping the land. And then we believe Jesus, the eternal God, is in three manifestations. Now, that's the way he gave it to me. That's the way I wrote it. Do you notice how that came out of there? And we believe Jesus, the eternal God, and three manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. Now there's the qualifications. Come up hither, and the others get in the great tribulation. That's the way God brings it, and they find out who he is, and the Jews do too, finally. Now, so, water baptism by the book of Acts is the way that you do it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and we know that. Nowhere did they ever baptize Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the Bible. In the book of Acts, even Paul, every one of them, whether he baptized, he told them how to do it. Peter and every one of them baptized that way. Even Time Magazine brought out they were baptized that way until about 300 years. Now, I said 300 years after Luther, when I was preaching that sermon on that long. If I didn't get that date right, I'd get it right now. I think maybe I did. But 300 years in something, even Time Magazine one time backed that up in several magazines. They baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. And at the Nicene Council there, about 300-something years after Christ, they changed it. And it's been in the Trinity baptism ever since. And then Luther followed that through. It wasn't time yet. At the end of the age, they're going to get ever loose in and tied up. It's going to shake loose everything. You know, tradition is dangerous. You can't shake them loose from it. How many of you believe that? But you go back to the original book of Acts. The real qualification now. You go over time. I don't care what you say to these preachers. They will not. And they cannot, saith the Lord, go against that. You won't do it. I don't care what they say. They're not pushing me back at all. It don't matter to me. I sure wish, and I believe that ministers, he's going to give some of them a last chance because some of them work hard all their life. And they really thought they were true, and they really thought that. The ones that are going to make it now, he'll cause a change about. The highways and hedges is going to bring some of them in. And that quick, short work, he can probably get just what he wants, and man could work 1,000 years and get little. But the Lord can work in just a little while and get all that he wants. Did you know that? Amen. And so, the eternal God, water baptism, the book of Acts, in his name. Then we have this, patience. The proper Godhead was given when I started that off. You go back to Jesus there. Now, patience. Even James said just before the coming of the Lord, he wanted the people to have patience because they had run out of patience. Everything was erratic. Everything was paranoid. Everything was just like it had been splintered and broken up in different pieces, running here and darting there, as Daniel said, darting back and forth, you know. Knowledge increased at the end, and man would go here and there real quickly. And he said, have patience now. The church that really, for a long time, during the time of the outpouring of the early century, when we begin to get back all that was lost in the book of Acts and the church ages come on up. And when it was poured out, and poured out upon us. Ever since then, it's been gradually coming up through the line. And they thought the Lord was coming at each outpouring in each war that broke out, and each time it broke out, modern machinery and all of this, and with the atomic, they thought it was around the corner, and the Jews was home, and they jumped up and down. But he said, have patience, brethren. Some of those people now are on the wayside. Time killed them. If they had faith, it cannot do it, saith the Lord. How many of you believe that? Now, he's shaking them loose. Boy, he can do it over the period of time. And so at the end, the first, you know, she'll be last. The last, she'll be first. How many of you believe that? Many will be called in these revivals. But few, saith the Lord, will be chosen. And here is the ingredients that's going to do it. How many of you believe that? He's mixing them up in here, putting them in here. And he's getting it ready for them right here. So we find out patience, which is supposed to be, is running out. But that's the time when the Lord is getting ready to do great things for his people and give them the proper rest that they need with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord that'll be everywhere. And then there's long suffering. Used to, people could, long suffering would last for days, you know. Now, long suffering asks for about 10 minutes. If they don't get up, move, or do something, that's the end of it. See, we're at the very end of the age. Long suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And patience. Yes, sirree. And then divine love must come and be in the body. Oh, we're in short supply of all of this, aren't we? Amen. I know in this age myself, I can feel there's no temperance. Boy, it is speed. And the unction and urgency is in the wrong thing instead of the Lord. And you can feel the worry, the nervousness, all of this that hangs over a city in the world, all of the burdens there. And I said the other night, if you want to carry the world's burdens, you can be part of it, you can. But Jesus said, I will take that burden off of you. Amen. And as many times as you go to work, and many people that you run into, there's going to be a burden left there. But in the work of the Lord, in praising the Lord, in coming into the anointing, he will remove it each time if it happens to come back. But don't carry the burden of the world. It's too heavy for you. Carry the burden of the Lord for souls, but not the world. Amen. That's exactly right. You got to do that there. And so we have divine love in the churches. They're just in small supply of this. But you know what? He'll do something at the end of the age to cause all of that to come together. There are qualifications. To forgive. Oh, my. The very gospel that Jesus brought on his enemies and those that killed him on the cross was forgiveness. That's the foundation of his coming. Without it, be nothing. And the people have short supply of that. It seems they cannot forgive and forget. If they forgive, then pretty soon they won't forget and they'll go right back in the same hole that was in. Now the qualification is, they will forgive, saith the Lord, or they cannot be forgiven, is what I spoke. I believe that. You must forgive. Amen. And forget, and then added to that, the Lord put, then show forth compassion to my people. Why is he telling us to do all these things when sometimes it seemingly looks so hard? He's trying to keep you in the word that he can get you out of here. Can you? Because nothing else will work. There's nothing else will work. It may look like it and so forth like that, but it's not going to work. Satan makes it something looks like it's going to work for a while, but it don't work very long. He didn't even work very long up there. He's gone from himself. So pay attention to the word of the Lord, which he didn't have time to listen to what God was saying. You know, if he had of brother, he'd have thought it over, wouldn't he? Amen. That word was going from that throne. And the way that God was doing things, he ought to have seen something was up there, you see, and so forth. Then we've got forget and have compassion. Believe in the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you believe that? Believe in the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. And in those fruits of the Spirit, oh my, that at the end of the age, not only will he show forth great miracles and power, but the reason he didn't bring more into it than that, there wasn't enough of fruits mixed up in there. You know, they claim me, if you eat the proper fruits and so forth like that, that you stay away from constipation. How many of you believe that? Well, the church is constipated and ain't getting enough of the fruits with those miracles. How many of you believe that? Have I got to shake a few more loose? I can shake them loose in there. That's right. I'm telling you that. That's the truth. And you know, people that study health and people themselves that have been through different things, they'll understand that. And they say, my land, that is a picture of the church, isn't it? Yeah, but you know what? We're going to get enough of divine love and the fruits of the Spirit that, man, this church is going to be clean. How many of you believe that? God, church all over the land now. It's going to be on time, saith the Lord. Oh, my. How great he can bring out of nature just a few things in there. And he prunes and he gets around in here and he does all kinds of things. So we find out that the gifts, you have to believe. That's the qualifications in there. No guile, see? No guile. in one of those statements in Revelation 14 was one, and to the bride too, no gal. Unnecessary. Now, oh gal, you won't cheat your brother on purpose. You might make a mistake, you know. No gal, see. Not like the world does think. Don't try to do that. Some of you may have fell in those kind of traps, so forth like that. But you want to be honest as you can be. Sometimes you can't foresee and it leads you into that there. And no gal. Unnecessary gossip. Now, Jesus said you should give an account for every idle word. Now, he didn't say you'd be judged in the judgment of hellfire with every idle word. But he brought something out when he said there, you'll give an account. Some people make it heaven, but oh, if they'd only wished out. Instead of talking so much about the wrong things and talk more about the word of God, they could have done more and they'll see the shortcoming, maybe. Now, you say every idle word. Well, human nature is going to talk. And I guess human nature with it, there is gossip in it. Whether now, true gossip, they can be true. Just talk. But you can even talk about the truth, that kind of a truth, too much. Did you know that? About people's faults and you keep going on. Jesus said that becomes idle even though somebody did something wrong or somebody that. You just keep on doing that. Or you can just keep on talking about your car, keep on talking about something that you've got, your house. You can keep on talking about this and keep on talking. That's idle talk even though it's the truth. How many of you believe that? And like I say, the body is built. It's astonishing. The body is the best gossip machine I've ever seen, boy, in my life. It can cause a tongue, you see, it's out there. And there's all this hate in there. And you don't want the kind of gossip. If you talk, human nature is going to talk some, but you can kind of have a monitor on it, you know, if you really want to, especially against Christians and so forth like that. But all of this hate. Now, gossip that hates and destroys and lies and kills, you won't stay away from that. How many, you won't stay away from that. If you don't really have the facts, perhaps it's best not to say anything at all, even if you kind of know that is the truth. Watch what you're saying. Jesus said now, the elect will finally be boiled down. Oh, but these crises, persecution, they'll finally be boiled down. The only one they'll criticize is Lucifer. How many of you believe that, boy? And they'll get in there and they'll criticize themselves to get themselves in line there. It'll finally boil down where that idol. See, it sounds like an idol, even worshiping an idol. They'll talk. See, and that idle word, boy, it'll finally correct itself. And then you can tell more about, you get rid of the idle talk and you talk about the word of God. Then you can talk about the coming of the Lord. Then you can tell them all about God's power. You can tell them everything that God told you to tell them because you're a full steam ahead for the Lord. And that's right. You got that human makeup and that's one thing you got to watch. What do you think? Over the nation. That is a sign that we're at the end of the age. The gossip, half-truth, part lies. They've used it as a tool to destroy nations, people, kingdoms, individuals, affluent and non-affluent. And they're using it. It's kind of like a tool that destroys. And Jesus said at the end of the age, one would turn on one another like that. He said that would be a sign of apostasy and that was to occur. And it is a great sign what we're seeing in the newspapers, on the TV and the radio, and those cheap things they sell out there in the markets, all of those. It is a sign that the age is closing out. And Satan, he's got a big mouth. Boy, he can talk. I can say one thing. When God created him, he has demons that obey every word that he says, so he's got a million little voices running around. He can't do it all himself. But boy, he can sure talk. How many of you believe that? Now, that's enough. That's on that one hour. You want to watch and give the Lord more time and credit instead of so much time for maybe something else. Each one of you have a monitor, and you know how far to go, and I'll leave that up to you and the Holy Spirit as God moves on you. Be careful in there, you see. Now, qualifications. See, don't lie and hate. That's a no-no for God. These qualifications. Believe there is a heaven, a paradise. One place it says the God of the heavens of the heavens of the heavens, if you interpret it right. Heavens of the heavens. You know, not a place that said the heavens, like our sky above us, so forth like that. But he's the God of the heavens. And believe, besides our natural heavens and the material heavens, believe that there is a spiritual heaven of paradise and an eternal home and an eternal place for the bride. The elect will believe it with all of their heart. And then believe that there is a hell where God has prepared for those that do not believe there's a heaven. If you believe that, and you really got religions for that. They got different religions, and even some famous people got involved with it because they said there is no hell. Well, you go back and ask the rich man all about that. Jesus put that parable in there. Jesus himself said there'd be in danger of damnation of hell. Out of the own words of the Master that he spoke at. So there is a real heaven, and there is a real hell that God created. All the negative spirits, they're not his anyway. They're going to go down there in that place. All those that love God And everyone that believes in his word, when they pass through this planet, they either got to reject it or accept it on probation, then he's got a place for them. And God, in all of his wisdom, in all of his mind, nobody can be as intricate and know what he's doing. You can't see it in the flesh because there's too many obstacles thrown up in front of you. But once you pass over into the Spirit of God and he begins to talk and reveal to you, you're going to see a God of divine love and compassion where you can't see it now because of the way the conditions of the world's in. What he is in the beginning, he's going to show you at the end of all of this. You can count on it, saith the Lord. I will reveal it. That's exactly right. The anointing here is going to help you to get this too. And so, shall you believe that? Qualification. Believe that there is demon powers, satanic powers. How many of you believe that? Also believe in angels and believe in the principalities of God and believe in the Lord Jesus as the angel of the Lord, the eternal one. But believe in satanic forces and demon powers. Now, let me tell you a little something. I'm going to do this later, though, in film probably. But right at the end of the age, Jannes and Jambres is loose again. Not only that, boy, when Moses come up to get the Jews out, and that was our admonition symbolic of what would happen to us, at the end of the ages, he took them all out and wandered around the wilderness of organization and so forth like that. And finally, they'd done themselves in. And Moses, he went to deliver them. God gave him signs. And he appeared. And the magicians and sorcerers, boy, they were They really were demon powers. They could bring forth things. Illusions is what it was. But they could bring them. And Moses, he went up against with the power of God. Boy, they cut loose too with their illusions. And they went on in there in a third dimension with those illusions. But Moses hit the fourth dimension in creation and he pulled away from them. And when he pulled on out, boy, they said the finger of God is there. Now, at the end of the age, that Jambres spirit, because of power, especially because some of these are type anointed I got going over the country, Lucifer is upset. Now, as the power gets so powerful to correct the bride and to bring the bride right in line with the true headstone of God, the very capstone, the Lord Jesus, and the mind of Christ, as he begins to bring that and swing it around where it should be, it's still off kilter, it's coming around, the latter power is going to get powerful. He's going to burn it and fashion it right into shape. So Satan must do something. And what he is doing to go up against this latter power, he's going to try to go beyond Jambres and Jannes and so forth at Moses' time. Now today, ordinary sorcerer can't crack it. The ordinary magician can't crack it. Witchcrafters, they can't crack it. They say, well, you know, witchcraft. They don't really believe some of them there's a devil or Satan. No, because they worship him through old gods and new gods. They haven't changed a thing. Can you say amen? You'll run into that phase that the witches are using and so forth like that. But they can't do it by themselves. So today, with this power, it's electrifying power. He's going to bring them together. Now, Lucifer's jumped up. And through laser and electronic, boy, he can bring, like I said years ago, what was going to happen because of Revelation 13, how that electronics and how different chapters got in there. Now, he can take, they call it magic, electronic and laser magic. They can produce people that are there, heads blowed off and reappear right back there with holes in them. And all kinds, they can cause this to disappear and reappear. And it's astonishing the tricks that they can use. And they have three-dimension holograms that can appear down. Now, they've even know this, that among the different Catholics and different churches and so forth, the Virgin Mary has been brought down sometimes in her midst by the hologram, three dimensions. And they look at her right there in light. See? And the people think, whoo, there, the Virgin Mary, electronic witchcraft. But there are true appearances by satanic forces, and they do see visions of the Virgin Mary. But now they can do it in hologram. They can bring Christ in hologram, three dimensions, in the air, in light. And you say, Satan doing all this? You wait and see what they've got. And they call it magic laboratories. Boy, and I mean they can put out some stuff. You say, why would they be doing that to keep their flock? We're doing it because it is a lie and a delusion. Because when Jesus appears in visions, and when the Lord works these kind of miracles, then Satan says, I can do the same thing. But he's in three dimensions only, and God pulls away in the fourth dimension. Like Moses, these people are going to go to the third dimension. They're going to already pull it in the air with laser and lights. Wait until it comes. More and more. See, it's costly right now, and they're not putting all of it out, but you can get glimpses of it there. And they'll reach out in the third dimension to get these masses. The jamborees and them are going again. And they'll reach out to get them with all of that laser, electronic, and computers and so forth like that. Third dimension. But God will go past the third dimension. Even in miracles, He will change into the fourth dimension, which will be true. And theirs is a lie. It's not the fourth dimension, it's a lie. But His will be the true fourth dimension now. And when your bodies change, you're gone out of this one for good. You pull away like Moses did. You're going across. You're going across to the promised land now. And you pull on away with the great feats. And we're gone. And we're transferred out of this. Satan goes to the third and lies about the fourth. He lies about the fourth. He's went nowhere with those things. They're done nothing, but they believe he has. See? But the true one takes the people out. So with all of these astonishing feats and all of these things to go up at the end of the age and to block the bride that's getting ready. See? All of it to catch your attention that when the elect do go up, their minds will be on so many different things until Satan will hold them. Because he will be in the supernatural, boy. And I mean in a way of all kinds of ways that he's going to do that. And so believe in demon powers. Now, you see, well, you say, you mean those men got those laboratories? They're like them sorcerers? Why, certainly. They may not know it. Even old Lucas has them laboratories down there. He can turn magic on and so forth like that, a Jewish fellow. And different ones, they don't know, see, some of them. But there's like jamborees, boy, they're going out there. Most of it's used to scare for evil or to excite or some way. But it's there. Some of that technology, they may use it for good in the medicine, so forth like that. I don't know. But I know this. Old Satan puts that Virgin Mary up where he wants to put her up. Although there are real appearances taking place which are false, but they appear. Their doctrine's not true. How many of you believe that? We have some things that I've preached, and I can't get into that you'll see some of those things later on in something. But I'll try to come back and show you the special effects someday and what's happening in there so you can see it with your own eyes and what's taking place there. Now, you see, we get down to this. They will believe. We'll get away from that right there. And angels, we believe in angels, believe in live faith. Not dead faith. Live faith. Working faith is live faith. He said, your works are dead. Without faith. How many of you believe that? Without working faith, nothing can occur. Dormant faith is like a body just laying there until the Spirit gets in it, see? But have working faith. And Jesus said, when I come, will I find any faith? A question mark. And then later he said, they would be the type of faith that he was looking for. And that's live faith. It's working faith. That is produced from the Word of God. And it's coated by the oil. And we're there. How many of you believe that? We're getting into that. This is a dimensional sermon. No matter what I preach, it gets into dimensions both ways. We're going on in there. Get these people and these messages going across the country and get them pulled in there and let them go on up in there. Amen. And so we come down right through there. Live faith. Working and action faith. Believing in the heart. Predestination.
I don't believe in predestination. What will be, what will be.
No, it's not just exactly like that. He leaves a leeway. You can make up your decision, but he already knows which ones will and which ones won't. He already knows whose it is. Therefore, it's got to be called predestination because he knows it, you see. And you say predestination, that's right. If you'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, who were predestinated before the foundation of the world to be his. All over their scriptures. You have to believe in predestination. But you can't just say, well, if I'm going to be and sit down. That wouldn't sound to me like a predestinated person. Amen. Predestination works with the Word of God. It'll work with the Lord. We know we cannot prevent some things. We know that the great prophecies that will come upon the nations and all of that that's going to come, it's got to come. It will come. But we know this, that by predestination that he's got a group he's going to take on out. Even those events are predestinated at the proper time, saith the Lord. That's right. He's got them all set in there. And so, you believe in that, the predestination, providence of God, and it works right with the Word of God. It does not work against the Word of God. And you believe in the bride, the Gentile, and of the son, Israel. The 144,000 and the old Jewish prophets. You believe that God has a section of those which are part and section off to him. You have the bride, the Gentile. You have the Jewish son. He calls him the servant. And the 144,000 bear witness to it besides the others that God has. So we believe in that predestination. Now you think them 144,000 just stumbled together down there and made it all up? He predestinated them, brought them all there and numbered them and calculated them. We'll get to something in a minute. And calculated them down just where he wanted them there. And then there's some on the outside that are numbered in a different way. And then through the ages, he's got them numbered down to where he can get them out there. So you believe in that. And if you want to get Revelations chapter 7, we'll show you all about that. So providence. And Jesus sat down one time with sinners. And sometimes you may have to work to be around sinners. You may even witness the sinners, but they criticized Jesus. And they criticized him, and he sat down. And Jesus told them, he said, wisdom is justified of her children. Because he said, some of them are here where I'm sitting. And he'd go out there and talk to them. The others wouldn't pay him any attention, but one or two would pull out of there. So wisdom is justified of her children. You'll find them sometimes like the Apostle Paul and different ones and Nebuchadnezzar in unlikely places, saith the Lord. You'll find them. I will go out in the highways and I will go out in the hedges. And I'll bring them in, the chief among the sinners. Sometimes they are known as that. And I will bring them in. So he said it was justified. They were drinking. They were doing this. They were saying bad words. They were doing all kinds of things. But he witnessed. He was that light. And he witnessed to them. A few will give account. It'd be justified. Every move he made, say the Lord, will be justified and is justified. That's right. I don't care what it is. Setting at the woman at the well, no matter where he went, the ones that he helped on the streetwalkers and those the men on the streets and so forth, he'll be justified. He'll be justified for calling the Pharisees and the religious leaders what they were of that day, because he rolled back what was covered up. And he brought out and exposed the truth, like a bunch of bugs to light. And they got mad at him. And they were going to kill the truth, and only made it worse upon themselves. It come back to haunt them, destroy and judge at the end of the world. Don't mess with the truth. Don't fool with it. It cannot be destroyed. The truth is what's going to get us all together. And that's right. And they love the truth. But those that love not the truth perish. Let's move along right here. We get through down through here. And so we find out he justified witnessing. Qualifications is your witnessing. Those will witness. Ye are my witnesses. You'll have that qualifications one time or another. You'll say something or get behind something or do something. You will witness. And that witness will be there. He will appear to those that love his appearing. The Bible said he appears to those that love his coming. If you do not love his coming or you expect his coming, an expectation, you must expect it. That's one of the qualities. And love his appearance. They love his appearance and it will be there. And we find that out. And the qualities is an urgency you'll have, an expectation you will have. No nonsense. You'll tell it like it is. You'll tell them that he is coming. And I tell them, and my opinion is, he is coming very soon. That's dead facts. My opinion is this century is going to see things they have never seen before and blow into a holocaust. That's exactly right. That urgency is there. I believe it with all of my heart. And you know, and Satan, and these messages going across the country and everywhere besides here, it's going to help. And we find out, no nonsense, boy. Holiness, righteousness, but the kind that is full of faith, because the other will not amount to nothing but self-righteousness and self-holiness. You must have the divine faith, or it will go nowhere. How many of you believe that? We've got churches named after that today. They have no faith or divine love. They can go nowhere until that's righted, until the full spectrum comes in there. You know, you don't have just one color to the rainbow. You bring them together and produce a rainbow out of that one color. It produces into that. It goes back into one, and it comes out of one. The rainbow does, and so forth like that. It's light that God does there. And so you have that. And then you have, but it'll be full of faith. And then I put here, God put it here, you will believe and helping. To support the gospel, you will believe and getting behind the true message of the Lord. How many of you believe that? And don't give it to Satan out there and all kinds of religious banks. Because like I said before, in all those doctrines and all those places, finally it's going to be turned over to Satan's man. He's going to mark the earth because of their foolishness of the churches. That's where most of the great power and money is going to come from. Finally, at the end of the age. So, be a good steward. Know what you're doing, Jesus said. Don't hide the talent, both in what you can testify and do, but also in that. And see if God won't do to you like he did the woman that met Elijah. Amen. Now, I left it out. I come back and put it on. The Lord said, you have to have that in there. Malachi 3 tells you about nations and people and so forth like that. And cheerful with it, too. Joy is one of the qualifications, and cheerfulness in there. Now we come down to this. Many people, they don't believe in prophecy today. They don't want prophecy in their churches. And some of them don't even want music in their churches. They don't want nothing in their churches but man, mankind. That's exactly right. But the Bible is full of prophecy. From the beginning to the end, he told the end in the very beginning, right up to the time it's going to run out. He told the end in the beginning. And prophecy is from the first part of it to the end of it, to the very end of the book of Revelation's in there. Prophecy. They don't believe it, see. But there's prophecy, and the elect will believe it in guidance. They'll believe it in revelation power. How many of you believe that? They'll believe it in God's seasonal time that he gives. They don't have to know the day and the hour, brother. They can see it. Whether it's going to be that day or the next, they're going to get close. He's going to do it. In fact, Jesus in the book of Revelations is going to do a great amount of that at the end of the age. His voice is really going to tell them, and he's really going to lead them. How many of you believe that? It says here, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit. Prophecy. How many of you believe that? The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. Revelations 19:10. And boy, that is just before he appears on that horse with them flaming eyes. There he is. That's going to guide him right to that. Right there, that white, whatever it is. He's there. See? And so we've got that. Qualifications. Believing in the translation, but also believing in the mark of the beast and the Antichrist, that they're going to come upon the earth too. Don't try to shove it under the rug and hide it from the people, because that's what churches are doing today. Don't talk too much about that. Don't say too much about the urgency of this. You better lay off of some of that. You're going to lose the money in the crowds. You're going to get rid of them out there. They're right. But they're not going to take the test. And that's what the elect can do. They can take that fire. They can take that test because they're made. They got the right material. They're like the Hebrew children. They can go right through that fire. Because he's with them, saith the Lord. That's why they can make it. Without him, they can't do it. But he's going to be in there with them right there. And they'll believe in the beast and so forth that's coming out and will occur. You know, today, I can't get into this real deep, but I'm going to write about it some or preach about it some. You know, they say, well, then the Bible, it tells you, and we can't just figure out this translation, when it comes, and is it mixed up, and what happens in tribulation, and so forth like that. All right, Noah, God come right to him, and he numbered the years. He numbered things. He began to number things, see, right there. He did a lot, too. They numbered the count. Abraham said, if I find this, I find that in numerical values. And he numbered them to Noah. And Noah was actually a type of those that are protected and come out of great tribulation. That's right. And Lot in Sodom, Jesus said at the end of the age be the same way. The numerical value was there too. And we find out that just before the destruction, the tribulation group fled out of there. You say, that's fine. Where's the translation? Okay. Now, the numerical values in Sodom will be, that'll be the tribulation there, because the beast will begin to bring its numerical values in. See, but the church is gone. You say, where'd it go? Which way did it go? Now, watch this. Not Lot, not Noah. Now, Noah, a type of the great tribulation coming upon the world. He was buoyed up and carried out of it. Enoch was done gone, saith the Lord. There's your translation. Now, see those numerical values? He was gone before he numbered that with Noah. Catch it, catch it, catch it. Lot was up there. He began to number the days. They even told Lot the time there. Tribulation group, they fled out of there and fire fell. Abraham was up on the hill. He wasn't nowhere near there. He was gone. Can you see it? And Abraham what? Why, he's symbolic of all the true faith, the Bible said, and those that will appear in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. How many of you believe that? Both times are gone. Now, the elect is gone and numerical value set in. The mark of the beast. How many of you can see all of that? Now, some people believe 7 years, some 3.5. I'll get in that later. 12 gives you the best picture of that. In fact, you can compute back from 201 and come down. You almost catch it right in there. That's an opinion. But you got to know which way you're going, 7 or 3.5. I'll just keep you in a mystery out there. People blowing this and blowing that out in there. It could happen sooner even. Oh, yeah, he can come at any time. He wants to come pretty soon. The Bible prophecy is for the elect is finishing up. The other Bible prophecies take place in the Great Tribulation in there and so forth like that. The elect do go up in part of that Great Tribulation, but not over in the Great Mark, into there. And I believe they're gone in there. But we'll get away from that because that gets into deep prophecy and it can be told the truth. Now, you hear it in symbolism the way that God brought that a while ago. And it is true. Enoch was gone. Now, we have it right here. You say, how did he leave? He was not, because God took him. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I've got a feeling in my heart that if you please God in the things that I'm talking about today, you'll have that same testimony and leave. You say amen? So we got that now. So we won't get involved in that. There's a lot more I've got to do later on. We'll get back into it. And I've got messages somewhere out there. Be also ready, Jesus said. What did he put also ready? Be ye also ready, because some got ready first. That is the midnight cry. The wise, be ye also ready. See, also. Now watch. And they are part of that bride, too. They are seeming to be not the closest part, in the core of it. And the midnight cry in Matthew 25 went forth in there. And then it says here, be ye also ready. In an hour that you think not. See, through the 19th century, they thought and they thought and they thought clear on up that he would come. But now, they don't know what to think. They're all confused. They had the greatest opportunities for the Lord to come 100 times, and he didn't come. How do I know he's going to come? Because he said that's the way it would be, and then suddenly he would come. He's trying to teach you faith, even to the grave up through this century, to those people to hold on. He's teaching faith. Have patience, he said in James. That's what it's all about. True faith, I will hold on. True faith has got teeth, I. It seems like the other type, it just slips like it's got grease or something. That's exactly right. You know, let me show you something about Janus and Jambres. The Lord brought it to me the other day and I forgot it in this message because I didn't think it would go here. 19th century, 204, 26, 23, some outpouring in little bitty corners. Bang! Boy, that came down. And it was humble and meek at the time. Right along with that, they were given a survey. Edison had discovered how you can make pictures talk and walk. Finally, he told them, though, he sold it and told them, take the thing. It's the worst waster of time I know of, is Edison, Thomas Edison. And they got, in 1903, he made a film on a train, and they shot down people and so forth like that, and he got away from the thing. But he helped them to get into that dimension. Outpouring come at the turn of the century. Motion pictures jumped up, old Janus and Jambres. Here he come. He didn't have his sounds yet, but boy, he was showing all kinds of bang, 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 bang. Love scenes, this and that, started getting in there. Now, as the outpouring came at the turn of the century, 1903, the first motion picture began to come that they could see. And it run right to two vines. There was that there, people talking there in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues there. And the motion picture, he didn't get his sound yet, boy, and he was coming right straight on up through there. And pretty soon he hooked on and got more out of there. God gave him a chance, see, up through there. And that was that when Pentecost fell, Satan jumped up, and here come Janus and them with their movies. And he said, get them out of there. Draw them. Boy, they begin to draw them away. Keep the rest from going over there. Get their attention on this and not on that over there. And you know what he did? He did it, didn't he? He got 90% of their attention over on these things that were coming up and through. Never seen anything like it before in their life. They got their mind off of everything. And the impact of Pentecost soon began to slow down. And it wasn't felt like it should have been felt, but God had it covered up. He allowed that. He's choosing again. Oh, he's a good pruner, isn't he? He's choosing again. He knows what he's doing. And so up through the ages, here comes the false and the true vine running right straight up. Jump right up and run together there. See, it's done that through ancient history and other things, too. The old Satan come up with idols, come up with this, and come up with that, you know. So there he come up with the electronic and the film world. And it's running to this day. And as they both come up and the supernatural miracles break out, the supernatural power of God, power to cause people to be transformed, power that's going to translate them into fourth dimension. Here comes Janus and electronics. And boy, you can see him going to computers. You can see him making things look like magic. They call it magic in there. Disappearing rain. Both of them are stepping up their pace. But there they come. How many of you believe that? Boy, according to what the world can do right now, man, just wait until the Lord. Get them a little head. It looks out down in there. Tie them bundles up, saith the Lord out there. Then he says, I'm going to bring my wheat in. See? So there's a little slow process here. But it's going to come. According to what science is going to do, ooh, my, what God's going to do, these people are going to walk around in the fourth dimension almost before they leave. They're never going to feel anything like it until life. They look around and see dead people walking among them, fixing to go up with them in the air, saith the Lord.
Well, I don't believe that, yeah, and you don't believe in Matthew, where a few graves were opened, they witnessed to the people and were caught up at the time of Jesus' resurrection. And you don't believe it said, the dead in Christ shall rise first and walk among us, and we which are alive shall be caught up with them. Why? You think they're going to be hidden? God said everything is hidden to be revealed. They're not going to be hidden. We're going to see them. And about the same time, we'll be caught up together. But they come out first. Boy, what a witness. They're already sealed in, though. That ain't going to... They'll be sealed in. Yes, sir. They get the privilege. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And there they are. And be which are alive! See? We'll be caught up with them. What a sight. Almost entering dimension that they come out into from the dead. And we get in there with them. And we're changed in light just like they are. And then we come up into the fourth dimension. And then from that, dimension after dimension with God. This world, we're gone from this worldly third dimension. We're gone. How many of you believe that? Ooh, my. So, there it is. And so we see there's yet. See? An hour you think not. Go ye out to meet him. So we see there is yet some shaping and transformation to come to the elect and to take place. The church is not quite ready, but it is coming. And getting ready through persecution will come. They do their best. Smyrna did its best. And God give a blessing to them. In the tribulation, the second church age. Ah, but that apostate age that failed him in there and went to sleep. He almost removed that candlestick into extinction on the great apostolic outpouring after it had went to its distance. Smyrna went through persecution. But they're almost, and they will get ready. Persecution's going to do something now. Drive out the ones they don't want. Bring in the ones that he does want in there. And it's coming with persecution now. And worldwide crises. And just to look at the demonic powers that shall appear will tell the bride to shape up. And through these crises and worldwide prophecies that God will bring, you just wait around the corner and see some things that God is going to reveal to those that got their eyes open in there. Through these crises, persecution, and all that's going to take place, and nature, when it acts up in such a way, will be the greatest preacher that we've ever seen upon this earth. And with miracles beyond the imagination of this world that will take place to the children of the Lord in a quick, fast work, short work, shall he do. Oh, it's astonishing. Amazing, incredible, that he will do among his people when they line up to what I just said, saith the Lord. There it is. Now, there's something about the truth that they hate. They don't want the truth. They killed Jesus to prove that. He was the walking truth, the solid truth, the pure, golden truth. They don't want it. But they settled for a lie, the Lord said. And he gave them one in a strong delusion that overcome the world. But the elect, when it's all said and done, when we get down to the persecution and we get down to all of the things that are going to take place, they'll love the truth more than ever. That truth then will mean life to them, which it doesn't now very much. And they'll hold to it because of the events and things that God will bring in the body as he flashes that light through it. They're going to understand then what true value is from the Lord. And believe me, I will come again, saith the Lord. Nothing's going to stop it. He is coming, and he's coming very soon. Now, this morning was just a few scribbled pieces of paper that I put together. There could be a lot of things added to this. No doubt in the future, sometimes it'll come in different sermons without putting it in rotation here. And it's to those on my mailing list, have patience. Don't give up because of the time and because maybe the feelings that the devil might give you about it. But hold true to this word. No matter what problem you got, God will iron it out and prepare you. Sometimes those problems are helping you to prepare if you'll get a hold of God and see what he's trying to reveal to you. That's exactly right. So all over this world, everywhere this goes, God give you the patience. May the cloud of the Lord and the Spirit of God separate ye, bring you in and keep his guarding protection on you. And give you the power to get out of here. And the faith and the healing power that you need in your hearts and minds and souls. Let it rest upon this tape. Let it go forth over the earth, and let it be God's sayings and not mine. Let it be the Lord's power and not mine. Let it be the Lord's incredible word, and not the word of man. And let him reign over all of us. As it said, every knee shall bow anyway. Might as well start bowing to the Lord Jesus. He loves his people, and he's coming to get those that love him. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. The Lord is true. Are you ready? The qualifications is the name of that. Now, I want everybody to stand to your feet in this building here. If you need Jesus, the compassion is still there. His hand is still out. But pretty soon, the old door is going to shut. Mercy is going to run out for those that are not in the elect and on this world here. And you give your heart to Jesus this morning. You repent in your heart. And maybe you think you haven't really and not all that bad, but Daniel, if you can ever get in his seat and he still did it, where does that leave you? And you clear it out if you're new here from the Lord or if you want the Lord. And you get back in these prayer lines. You get in here and see what God does for you. If you need any help anytime in these services, they'll give you a free pamphlet. They'll give you something. Some of these men will help you. We'll get more and more into that before the end of the age. And they'll help you in every way. You get in here, and if you had need a miracle and didn't get it so far, you'll get a miracle from God when he does these miracles in here by faith in God. Now, let's praise the Lord. Every one of you, get your mind and attention on the Lord and keep it on the Lord. And as you shout the victories, that's the way you get him to go before you. He's standing right there with you, but he'll go before you now if you shout the victory. Let's praise the Lord.
Jesus, reach on out. Look, touch them, Lord. Heal every one of them in Jesus' name. Oh, praise him. Thank you, Jesus. You feel him now. You feel him now.